All right, if you are a middle school or high school student, you guys are dismissed. You can go next door. Your leaders will gather you in the back. So as they're going out, I want to share with you guys a little story. How many of you ever hated your job? How many of you currently hate your job? Oh, okay. There was a time in my life where I hated my job. No, it was not this job or my job before that. I've been a pastor for a while, and I love being a pastor. But before I was a pastor, I had a job that was terrible. I sold cars, new and used cars, and I hated it. Now, if you are a car salesman, props to you, because that is a difficult industry to be in. But one of the difficulties for me selling cars was I just couldn't handle it. So a lot of times, most cars are sold on the weekends. You know, people are working, but you still, like, as a salesperson, you're still there during the week. So, and kind of the way that at least the dealership that I was at, they had kind of a system of ups. So it would be like each salesperson had the opportunity to go and, like, work with a customer and try to sell. And whoever had the highest sales, you know, percentage the month before would get kind of the first up, you know, an opportunity to sell when a customer came on the lot. Well, so on a Monday, I might work like a 12-hour shift and I would be there all day. But on a Monday, there might only be like 5 customers. And on any given Monday, there might also be 4 or 5 salespeople. And so there are days where I sat around and I didn't even get the opportunity to sell a car because only 4 people came there and I was the last up. And so, like, sitting there for 12 hours, literally, like, what do you do? Like, you do nothing. And so now you know why when you go onto a car lot and they, like, attack you like vultures, it's because they've been sitting around wasting their lives for days just waiting for one opportunity for somebody to buy a car so they can feed their family, right? But on top of that, everyone that walks on the lot, and if you're honest, you do this. I know I do this. If I walk on a car lot now, your first response when you see that car salesperson, don't walk over here. I don't want anything to do with you, person, right? And so you have to deal with that when you're a salesperson. You have to, like, everyone already hates you, and you haven't even talked to them yet, you know? And so, like, that's one thing I didn't like about it. The other thing was, like, there's a lot of, like, drugs and alcohol and addiction and unethical things going on in the sales industry and car sales. I experienced that with multiple dealerships, definitely the one that I was at, and that was a constant challenge. You know, when I was trying to sell cars, I had one manager in particular. I had one really good one, but I had one that was constantly trying to push us to make really unfair and unethical deals. And so constantly I was pushing back, and that meant that I got dropped to the bottom of the list, and I got reprimanded several times because I talked people out of buying cars that they shouldn't be buying, you know, but I'm like, I would tell them, I'm like, I'm not comfortable doing this. If I know this is a bad deal for the customer, then I'm not going to push them into it, or I'm not going to charge them or lie to them about a price or something like that. And there was always consequences to that, but that's where I was at. And so I got into this trap, though, of I wanted to pursue full-time ministry since I was honestly, like, in middle school. And so for me, this job was kind of like, it was just checking that box. You know, it was just like, this is just what I got to do to pay the bills until, like, I get on with my life. Well, so I fell into a trap that's really easy to fall in, which is basically, if it's not full-time ministry, right, it's just secular. It's just a secular job, and it's not really ministry, and it's not really important, and everybody's got to do it. You wake up, and you work for the man, and you get your paycheck, and you go on with your real life. The problem is, like, that perspective isn't really biblical. That's actually not God's heart for work at all. And but it's really easy to get there. And it's especially easy to get there when we experience all kinds of challenges at work. And even in jobs that we love, sometimes we experience things like this. Things like just getting saddled with a bunch of other people's responsibilities. You know, like a coworker that just constantly dumps thing on you, or how about working too much overtime, right? Like, just you constantly, your boss is like, hey, I'm going to need you to work on Saturday and Sunday and stay late every day for the next 3 years. Or like getting so distracted with tons of little things that pop up. You know, you're trying to do, like, the job that you're hired to do, but there's always just, like, this blows up and this team is having issues and you're constantly trying to fix all those things, or dealing with difficult coworkers. So Sometimes trying to, like, you just like, I just want to do my job, but these people are crazy and they keep messing up my job. Or have you ever worked with somebody that just has a critical attitude? It, like, getting any sort of positive encouragement out of them would, like, make you just cry with joy. They're just really critical about everything. Or how about conflicts with authorities? Like, have you ever had a bad boss? Man, I've had some terrible bosses. Getting to a place where your work doesn't stop when you go home. You know, we just moved yesterday, so I'm barely standing, but we just moved to Monroe, and one of the things that I'm actually excited about, not that I want to be away from Duval, is actually having the drive, the commute to work, because I used to live like 2 minutes up the street, but like one of the things that's difficult is having that time to just kind of pray and just release like the stuff of the day, right? You know, like the hard part is when your commute's too long because you're sitting in traffic and then all that stress just piles up, you know? Like, instead of releasing it, you're like, oh, I just want to get home. But each one of these things, each one of these issues reveal boundary problems in work. And boundaries are one of the things that we're talking about in our Radiant series. We are in week 8 of our Radiant series. And the idea behind the Radiant series is that throughout Scripture, there are several verses that talk about freedom and joy and abundance that's available to us. And that abundance is under assault, though. John 10:10, that is not the car lot I sold at. It's way nicer. The car lot I actually worked at is out of business. So that tells you a lot about how good it was. So John 10:10 says this: "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come they may have life and have it abundantly." So through Jesus, there is this abundant life that's available, and that includes in our workplace. But in the same verse, the enemy has come to rob that. He wants to destroy it. He wants us to get saddled and overwhelmed with all these different situations that cause work to be cumbersome and terrible and something that we don't enjoy. But we have this abundant life that's available to us. And one of the ways that we can step into that is by actually setting some boundaries with work. And it is crazy throughout the years as I've talked with different people and the different people that I know work at these different jobs, how easy it is to get into traps of having, honestly, misaligned boundaries with work. But as we talk about boundaries, a boundary is simply this. It's defining where I end and where something else begins, right? So a great example of that is like our skin is a boundary. It keeps germs out, right? Like, but it also, it allows other bad things out. It also lets good things in. And that's just the way that our bodies work. That's a boundary that exists that's easy to understand. But in the same way, there's boundaries with other people. So for example, I can't control you. I can't make you do anything. But what I can do is I can set a boundary to say, hey, if you're going to respond a certain way, I'm gonna walk away, or I'm gonna remove myself, or I'm not going to, you know, like engage in this kind of conversation. Each one of those are boundaries. But as we look at boundaries with work, there's one key point that I want to bring to your attention as we talk about boundaries, and it's this: you're a person of worth and value. You are a person of worth and value, and that's important because setting boundaries, particularly with work, are really difficult. It's actually really hard to do because we get into this point where we're like, man, I couldn't set a boundary. You know, if my boss constantly is calling me in, you know, to work all these extra hours, I don't want to say no because I don't want to get fired. Or if I do, my boss will yell at me. And I definitely, like, I couldn't set a boundary with my boss yelling at me. That just wouldn't fly. The problem is each one of those things, every time we agree with those kind of statements and we don't set a boundary, what we're doing is we're actually sacrificing. We're going against the value and worth that God has already said we have, right? You, each one of us, through Christ's sacrifice, has literally become a co-heir with Jesus Christ. We are kings and queens in the heavenly realms. That's the reality of our identity. So you deserve to be treated with respect. You deserve to be valued as a hardworking employee. Assuming you are a hardworking employee, which we're going to assume that you are, right? But that's the reality. And you as a contracted employee, there should be clear boundaries on what you do and what you don't do, because that's what you get paid for, Right? But if we don't believe that we have value and worth, then it's really hard to set those boundaries. And so as I was thinking about this idea of kings and queens, I remember a time when I was in high school and I went on a mission trip and we were in Thailand and we traveled all over Thailand. But when I was in Bangkok, Bangkok's this big city, and this weird experience happened. It was like being in a movie. We're all of us, like our team was walking along. We had a small team. We're walking along on the streets and it's busy and it's crowded. There's cars going by and like motorcycles and just thousands of people walking around near us. And all of a sudden they all stopped. It was like those like YouTube videos where there's this big mob of people and they all just drop and they're like, ah, and they point and that one person who doesn't know what's going on like does it too. You know, they're like, oh, what's going on? You know, it was like that. It was like in a movie when all the time freezes and everybody has some idea that something is going on, but I didn't. And so we're all walking around and everybody stops and they all bowed and they were like this. And I'm like, what in the world is happening? And so we asked our translator, and what was happening was the king of Thailand, they have a monarchy, or at least they did then, I think they still do, the king was driving through Bangkok. And so what happened is this is actually in Bangkok. And so behind, right here, are about five red Mercedes-Benz sedans. Behind them are another 70. So what happened is there's like 75 identical red Mercedes-Benz, and you don't know which one the king is in, probably for safety, and they just had this big motorcade that went through the city, and everyone stopped. And we were just the stupid white people that didn't have a clue what's going on, right? And so we talked to our translator, and we're like, okay, we got to stop and not just keep walking. But it was crazy to me how much respect I wasn't very aware of what the political status of the king was at that time, but whether it was commanded or whether it was deserved, this was a king, and everyone knew it, right? This person, either like because of their title or authority, they demanded respect, and people knew that. And it doesn't mean that as believers, just because we are kings and queens, that we need to go around and demand respect and tell every peasant around us to bow down. That's not the point. But I think the point that I'm trying to make is that we are people of value and worth. And when we talked about the law of power, it's that we have the ability, we have the authority to change things, to communicate things that we have, to communicate needs that we have. And it's actually a really good and healthy thing, even in the workplace. But let's take a look at what the Bible says about work first, before we talk about boundaries. So this is Genesis 1, 28. It says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on earth.'" So this is when God created the Garden of Eden, and he tells Adam, subdue it and have dominion over it. Right? That's what he tells Adam and Eve. And this is before the fall. He says, this is work. That sounds a lot like work to me. Subdue it and have dominion over it. And it's a good thing. So when God established work, it's, man, I'm giving you purpose. And work has value, and it's something that's good. And it was something that was done in community with God, right? Adam's naming all the animals, and he's doing it with God. And it's something that's good, and it's something that he enjoys, and it gives mankind purpose. And then as a result of the fall, if we look in Genesis 3, 17 through 19, it says, "And to Adam he said, 'Because you've listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" So because of sin, work moved from something that we wanted to do, we got to do with God and in community and love with him, to something now we have to do to survive. Right? And the question I want to pose is this: how does your perspective about work affect your attitude towards work? Like, if work has a greater purpose, would that impact the way that we work and how we view our work? Well, if we look at the New Testament, in Colossians, after Christ's return, Paul says this, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." All right, so what he's saying is that whatever work we do it for the Lord. We do it for God's glory. There is no secular and spiritual work. There is no. There doesn't have to be the, oh, I go to work and I punch my 40 hours or 50 hours, or hopefully you're not doing a whole lot more than that. But, right, whatever it is, we punch our time card and then we come back and then we volunteer at church and we do ministry. No, God's design is that we glorify him in everything that we do, in our work. Now, I believe even selling cars, you can glorify God in selling cars. How crazy is that, right? But there were times where, like, I made very fair, ethical deals. People were satisfied with the cars that they bought, and it was a good deal for both the company and for the person. And yeah, was I doing my job and was I making this company money and was I making money? Yes. But there are ways that we can glorify God in the way that we interact with people and how we serve them and doing our job with excellence. We can glorify God with that. And so everything that we do, we can do it for the Lord. The work that we do, we can do it for God's glory. And the crazy part is this passage in Colossians, Paul is actually writing to those that are bondservants. They're slaves. And he says to them, hey, don't just work for your earthly master, like do everything for God's glory. And it's not endorsing slavery, but what he's saying is that even if you're in that situation, you can glorify God. So man, it's hard to go, wow, it's hard to glorify God selling cars. Imagine being a slave. How hard would that be to have a posture of, I'm doing all this for the Lord when I'm a slave? Right, so the message is clearly one where whatever you do, whether you work in cosmetics or whether you work in a tech industry or you do a labor job, whatever it is, you can do it for God's glory. And God designed work to be something that's good, that brings him glory and something that we do. And so as we take a look at setting boundaries in work, I have three things that I want to share with you, and I'll explain them as we go through, but the first is take responsibility for your own feelings and position. Second is be responsible to those around you by communicating your boundaries. And the last is spend your time on the most important things. All right, so let me know if this situation sounds familiar, but as we talk about take responsibility for your own feelings and position, let's say you're at work, one of your coworkers asks you to help them out with something. So you pick up their extra workload, maybe you guys are on the same team or something like that, and after a couple weeks, like this continues to happen, you notice a pattern building. It's like, man, I'm really carrying a lot more weight than this person, or they're showing up late and I have to do a lot more. And you think to yourself, wow, like I'm doing all the work, you know, and they're still getting the paycheck and they're still getting the credit for it. And at some point you realize, wow, like I'm doing a lot of their stuff. Like maybe I should talk to them. But you run into this problem. You're like, well, what if they get upset if I talk to them? Or what if they get fired? Or we're working on the same project. What if, you know, like if I don't cover it and then it fails and then we both look bad? The problem is that even if that person gets angry at you, is their anger harming you more than them not doing their work? Right? I mean, if you're already carrying all the weight of their work, that even if they get upset and the project suffers, or maybe they do get fired, or something happens, right? You're constantly carrying the weight. You're taking responsibility for them instead of taking responsibility for yourself. But I think one of the biggest difficulties is actually telling them that. And so that's why we need to take responsibility for our own feelings and positions, all right? So here's the hard part. Matthew 7:3-5 says, "Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So if I'm upset because I'm constantly doing all the work of my coworker, right? And I'm mad with him. I'm mad at him because he's not taking responsibility for his own work. I'm being a hypocrite. Why? Because I'm not taking responsibility for actually feeling that way if I don't communicate it to him. Right? So essentially, what this passage is saying is, how can I be upset with my coworker for not taking responsibility for their own work if I'm not taking responsibility for my own feelings? If I'm not bold enough to actually say, hey, you know what? Like, this part, this is actually not my job. And I'm sorry if that upsets you, but I'm not going to be able to cover your job anymore. Like, I need you to help carry some weight. But I think the most difficult part is actually getting the courage to say that. Actually getting the courage to go and talk to the person about it. And I think, as believers especially, favors and sacrifices are something that are part of the Christian life. It doesn't mean we shouldn't help somebody that needs help at the workplace. In fact, we absolutely should. But there's a difference between when we're helping and when we're enabling. And one of the important parts is learning the difference of that. When my helping is actually helping them to be better, that's good. When my helping is actually helping them, when it's actually hurting them, that's not good. And it's actually more helpful both for them and for you if you take responsibility and say, you know what, I need to communicate this. And that includes when we have, we need to take responsibility for our feelings, even when there's kind of transference feelings. And transference feelings basically mean when, say your boss says, hey, you know, I want you to go a different direction. I don't want you to do that project like that. And you go, man, my boss, like, they're always putting me down and they never, you know, have any good ideas and they just, you know, are pushing me around. And you have this really strong emotional reaction, like way too strong. But you feel it and it's strong and it's there, but it's totally connected to something else, something undealt with in your past. So, and this happens a lot in work because a lot of us have bad experiences with authority figures, be that parents or maybe some negative bosses that we have had, or even pastors or different authority figures in our life that have been negative. And if that's undealt with, then sometimes it just triggers that. But the reality is, even in that situation, I'm still responsible for what I feel. And I have to take ownership of that and address that. So we take responsibility for our own feelings and for our position. The next is, be responsible to those around you by communicating your boundaries. And there's a difference between two and four, right? There are people in my life I'm responsible for. I have four little children. I'm responsible for them, right? It is my job to make sure they're covered. Now, there's lots of people that I'm responsible to, and that's adults, right? I don't have to do my coworker's work. I'm responsible to him to communicate with him, to work with him. And I need to communicate what my boundaries are. Those are all things that I should do as a responsible person, but it doesn't mean I always have to be responsible for them, right? They can cover themselves. And so this is true when it comes to, say, let's take the example of working too much overtime. There's a book called Boundaries. It's by Drs. Cloud and Townsend, and in it they share this story. And I just want to read it to you because I think it's a great example. In the book, it says this. It says, when I first went into practice, I hired a woman for 20 hours a week to run my office. On her second day in the office, I gave her a pile of things to do. About 10 minutes later, she knocked at my door, stack of papers in hand. What can I do for you, Lori? I asked. You have a problem, she said. I do? What is it? I asked, not having the vaguest idea what she was talking about. You hired me for 20 hours a week, and you've just given me about 40 hours of work. Which 20 would you like done? When I read that, I'm like, wow, how many of you can imagine having that conversation with your boss? Like, it's crazy, right? It's actually really good and healthy, though, to be able to say, hey, you know what? Here's what I am capable of doing. Here's what my job description is. You know, I can put in, you know, some extra hours in overtime for a season, but I can't do it all the time. Right, here's the boundaries of what I can and can't do. You're asking me to do far more than is capable for me to do. How hard is that to do? So difficult to have that conversation, but also so good. Galatians 6, 4 through 5 says, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not to his neighbor, for each one will have to bear his own load. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. And we do that by communicating what's too much and what's not. And here's, there's some bad news and some good news. All right, so say you're working overtime, you hate your job, like, and your boss is constantly, like, you know, loading up with stuff, your coworkers are constantly loading you up with stuff, and you are just like, man, I hate my job, and I'm in this terrible position. Here's the bad news. It's totally on you. Like, that's actually, that's your responsibility. Your job overload is actually your responsibility. The good news is, you're the only one that can change it. Right? Okay, so at the end of the day, if your boss is loading you up with all this stuff, it's really easy to kind of put a victim mindset on it and be like, man, my boss is just slamming me. He's coming down really hard on this. You know, all these coworkers are just piling stuff up. But at the end of the day, it's our responsibility to manage our time. It's our responsibility to set boundaries and hold that. And are there seasons where we'll have to do some overtime? Yes, there are. But it should be seasons. It shouldn't be constantly. It shouldn't be for the whole time that you're there. And so we have to own the problem and stop being a victim and say, okay, I'm gonna set some boundaries in this. And the reality is, if you're in a situation where you're being worked constantly, overtime, being put in bad positions, and it's impacting you, your physical health, your mental health, your family, you're in an abusive situation. And you don't have to continue to be a victim in it. You can actually set boundaries. That's the good news, but it's hard. So maybe a boundary looks like this. Decide how much overtime you're willing to do. And like I said, some overtime is probably expected of you. Next is review your job description. And if you don't have a job description, ask for one. Because if you don't have a job description and you feel like a slave in your work, then you don't have any clarity of what you're supposed to actually do or not do. So how would you ever know if you did a good job or not? You need a clear job description. And then third is make a list of the tasks that you have. And you might realize that as you make this list, you're doing a ton of things that are outside your job description. And that sounds like a great conversation for your boss. Hey, boss, you're paying me for this, and you're asking me to do all these things, and now there's this whole list over here that I'm covering that I'm actually not getting paid for. And it's outside of my job description. You have a problem. What would you like me to focus on? What a crazy conversation. And I, as a boss, I think to myself, I'm like, man, I have some problems I need to deal with. Susan should be doing this to me. You know, but it's the reality is I'm like, yeah, like that's so good. We need to focus and be responsible by communicating boundaries to each other. The last is spend your time on the most important things. And admittedly, this is something that I definitely struggle with. I read this quote and it said this, effective workers do two things. Excuse me. It says they strive to do excellent work and they spend their time on the most important things. Now, I am a huge believer in doing excellent work. That's a huge value of mine. Everything that I do, I want to do it well. I want to do it right. All right. But I don't always spend my time on the most important things. So, like, sometimes I'll have, you know, this really important project I need to do, and then I'll go off and I'll do this little project, and I will do it so excellently. It'll blow your mind, like, how awesome it is, but it's totally not what I should be doing. But it's amazingly done, but totally not the best use of my time. And the reality is, we need to prioritize what we're doing. And I was reminded a couple weeks ago, Jeff Hansen was talking about the boundaries that Jesus set. And he made the statement, he said, Jesus was relaxed. He wasn't rushed. He knew when to say yes and when to say no, even though there were literally mobs of people begging for him to heal them. People following him around, wanting his time and attention constantly, and he was never in a rush. He was relaxed and was in a place where he could respond to the needs because he knew what the priorities were. And to be honest, as you know, being a pastor, there's always needs that come up. There's always urgent things. This is a huge body of believers, and there's always things that come up. And to be honest, I need to honestly ask your forgiveness for not always having the right priorities all the time. Because the reality is, it's my responsibility if I need help to ask for it. And there are definitely times where I need help. That the needs of this body are too much and they're too overwhelming. And that's not on anybody here. That's on me to communicate. And so one discipline that's been really helpful for me has been to give God my list. Now, we all have a list. Right now, you have a list. And it's maybe the list is, you know, hey, I've got the football game, and we have friends coming over, and I need to pick up this. I need to clean up this room. We need to make sure the kids have something to do so they don't interrupt me, you know, or whatever it is. Or I need to get these three projects done, or the things that you need to do on your house, right? Whether that list is written down or it's in your head, we all have it, right? So one thing that I've been trying to do, a discipline I've been trying to work on, is I've been trying to follow the example of Jesus and bring that list to the Lord. And so what I do, I've been trying to do each morning is to follow this example. In Luke 5:16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." And then John 8:29 says, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." That's Jesus talking about his time with the Father. And I love that statement. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. I so want that to be my story. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And so what I do is I bring my list, no matter how messy it is, whether it's written down on a piece of paper or it's just in my head, and I just spend time praying. I'm like, okay, Lord, help me to prioritize my day. And it's actually really helped me to refine my priorities and spend the time on the most important things, but I definitely don't do it perfectly. Even in the midst of our move, Nicole and I got an argument about not spending my time the right way as we're trying to accomplish a million things. And so it's definitely a challenge, but I think especially in the case of work, as we continue to set boundaries around, okay, these are the interruptions that I'm going to allow to interrupt me, and these are the things that I'm not, so that I make sure that I'm doing it. And that's a boundary we set in work. So one thing that I've been reminded of is in Exodus 18, Moses, he's functioning as a mediator and kind of a judge for the Israelites. And they're all coming to him, flooding him with all these problems that they have. And his father-in-law, Jethro, comes and he says to him, hey, what you're doing is it's terrible. Like, it's not going to work. You're going to burn yourself out. The people are going to be upset. You need to, like, delegate. You need to set up some teams. And so it's just been a great reminder to me to go, yeah, like, I need to ask for help. I need to spend time on the right thing. So whether you're in if you're in a position where there's something that you don't like about your job, my encouragement is this: take responsibility for your own feelings. If there's something you don't like, you have the power to change it. You have the power to speak up and to say something, and that is be responsible to those around you and communicate some of those boundaries. And that may mean having a difficult conversation with a coworker or a boss, or setting some boundaries on what you allow to interrupt your work. And the last one is spend your time on the most important things. I'm just going to close in prayer. Next week, we're going to talk about boundaries and families, and Jeff's going to be sharing with us. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I want to share one last exciting thing with you guys. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, just for work, for the way that you've provided for us, the way that you provide for our families, just for the ability to have joy in our work and seasons of things that we love that inspire us and bring out passions. And Lord, I thank you also for the areas that are difficult that we have authority to change. And so, Lord, would you give each of us the courage and the wisdom to set healthy boundaries with work, maybe to communicate with a boss or a coworker, or maybe to just manage our time better. Or we want to experience the abundant life that's available to us. And we know that the enemy is trying to actively destroy that. So, Lord, would you help us to be a radiant people, people that show your glory to those around us. And Lord, I just pray specifically for anyone in this room now that feels like the job is just checking a box. Lord, would you just work in their heart to see that you have a purpose for them being there, and it's more than just a paycheck, that they can work for your glory. And Lord, would you show them ways that they can point to you and be radiant in their workplace? In Jesus' name, amen.